Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on this morning with Ed Curry, certified mortgage planner and construction loan specialist at Associated Bank. Ed, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Steve.
We're going to have a conversation this morning about mortgage rates and some other issues surrounding maybe refinancing as well. But I want to begin with the news that we get a little bit more time for mortgage forbearance. Talk to us a little bit about changes that have been made and whether or not that's a decision for you, mortgage forbearance.
Yeah, you know, the forbearance program has actually been so awesome for a lot of people, just people that have been impacted financially during this COVID crisis, and it's really helped people be able to concentrate on other areas of the finances that are so much more important, as well as their housing costs. So it really has been a success, you know, going into it. I think a lot of people were skeptical of unintended consequences this may have, and it's turned out to be nothing but a success. So being able to extend this, as now that vaccine rollouts are happening, people are getting back to work. We're seeing a lot of the service industry, you know, restaurants going from 25 to 50% capacity locally now, and a lot of those improvements that will bring a lot of those individuals back to work, and those are the individuals that have been most severely impacted, you know, giving them another 3 or 6 months, depending on their situation, I think will be really, really helpful to stabilize housing as well. One thing I always like to caution on the forbearance program is it's not an easy decision. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's certainly something you really only want to use if it's something that you need to, because there can be some impacts for you. It's not going to impact your credit, so that's the great thing. But, you know, once you do come off forbearance, the loan payments that you've deferred will be tacked on to the loan. You know, so there'll be that cost. In some cases, you'll have the ability to pay that immediately if you want to. But the impacts that we're seeing for most people is it does not allow them to refinance, maybe purchase a home as readily as they think they may want to. So essentially, lenders are saying you can't have it both ways. You can't not make your mortgage payments and, say, refinance. So in most cases, most forbearance programs do require you to either A, pay your loan current, and meaning paying off all the deferred payments, or you have to get on a forbearance repayment plan and make 3 payments consecutively before you would be allowed to either purchase a home or refinance a loan you currently have. So all good things, but there is a timing aspect. If somebody's looking to purchase a new home right away or refinance based on, you know, where the current rates are, and, you know, for a lot of people, they may not have been able to qualify for a refinance. And so, you know, the forbearance could put them in a position where they may have to wait for, you know, 3 months until they make that third payment.
I saw a statistic that said about 2.7 million homeowners holding about 5% of the nation's mortgage loans are currently in forbearance. And it brought up a question, Ed. I know you talked about the unintended consequences, the concerns people had about that. I had heard all kinds of things about, you know, there might be a foreclosure boom happening later down the road because of people having trouble. None of that has come to fruition right now, but is there still a possibility of some of that happening, specifically perhaps the foreclosure boom?
There could be, but I think what we've seen really almost for the last 10 or 20 years now is the government seems more than willing and able to step in when there are some sort of financial crisis and really stem any sort of significant crisis like that. So while that's certainly not a guarantee, I think, you know, the last several crises have indicated that there will be help on the way.
This is obviously a big decision, and you need to weigh all of the pros and cons in your specific situation. But are there alternatives to forbearance if you're a homeowner who has some trouble?
You know, there's different variations of the forbearance. You know, sometimes we've seen that some lenders will allow people to skip one payment, for example, and they'll be able to just simply push that off 1 month and not be reported late. So, yeah, there's all sorts of variations of forbearance, per se. So the best thing to do, because everybody's situation is different, is to reach out to your loan servicer and see what kind of options you have.
Well, Ed, let's talk about the current market for not only refinances, but for new mortgages as well, and maybe even some of those construction loans that you deal with. What are the current rates, and what's the current market system look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's timely because over the past couple of days, we've really have seen rates increase quite a bit. And when I say rates, not necessarily mortgage rates, but more the overall interest rate complex, you know, 10-year treasuries, for example. You know, we think about what the 10-year treasury was, which is a proxy for mortgage rates. That was about 0.5% last August, and yesterday it touched 1.3%. So that is more than doubled here in the last 6 months. And fortunately, mortgage rates haven't doubled. But, you know, some people are saying, you know, possibly the lowest rates are now behind us. That being said, they're still at historically low rates. You know, for the most part, you should be able to find 30-year fixed rates between 2.75 to 3%, depending on your credit, depending on purchase or refi. Refinance rates are higher than purchase rates. That is something that is certainly the case. So generally, the rates that people will see online, or if you're one of the few that get a newspaper in the newspaper, are you know, those are mostly going to be purchase interest rates. So, so certainly, if you haven't done so, if you're still thinking about it, if you're thinking that rates may get lower, I wouldn't wait for that rate to get lower if it still makes sense for you to refinance, meaning, you know, the current rate that you have is, say, 3.5% or higher, there's probably some good opportunities for you.
How do you score the cheapest refinance rate? Obviously, having a good credit score is probably part of that, but are there some other tricks that people should be aware of?
You know, the cheapest refinance rates, and refinance rates are a lot more volatile than the purchase rates. And by that, I mean lenders may day-to-day kind of adjust their rates to handle the inflow of loan origination volume. Ultimately, there's only a certain number of humans that are able to process this paperwork. While technology has come a long way over the last 10 years in the mortgage process, at the end of the day, we still need humans to review the paperwork and validate and approve and process that paperwork. So one of the things that lenders will do is they want to make sure they're supporting purchase activity and then the refinance activity. If the volume gets too high and they can't handle it, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll kind of raise the refinance rate offerings that they have. So in this current market, certainly, you know, checking with that's probably more than need two or three different loan providers to get a sense of what sort of interest rates they're offering. Certainly, everybody should know at least three people that have currently or recently purchased or refinanced, so they would be able to get some nice referrals. It's always best to get referrals from friends and family that have had good experiences, and just check with two or three people, and that should be plenty to get a sense of who is offering some great rates. The really, really low rates that you tend to see out there come with some sort of buy down cost or points. And points, 1 point is 1% of your loan amount. And that's on top of the standard closing costs. So if a standard closing cost for things like title costs, appraisal, processing fees, to throw out some numbers, let's say it was $2,000, points would be on top of that. So if you have a $200,000 loan you're refinancing and you pay 1 point, that's an extra $2,000 in closing costs. So now your total closing costs in that example would be $4,000. So that will allow you to buy that rate down anywhere between a quarter, maybe 0.375%. And if you look at that, the break even, how long, you know, the payment will certainly be lower by buying that rate down. It'll take you about 4 to 5 years to break even on that cost. So if you think you may be in your home less than 5 years, it doesn't make sense to pay those points to buy the rate down. But if this will be your forever home, or at least you think it will be, it certainly may make sense for you to buy those points. Now, also check with your accountant as well, because in many cases, points are tax deductible on refinances. In many cases, you have to amortize those over the life of the loan. But certainly, again, this is you know, just generally speaking, check with your accountant to make sure you know what you may be doing is compliant with all tax laws.
And a new federal refinance fee is now in effect. What do we need to know about that?
Yeah, that jumped in December, and you know the fee is from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac on refinances over $125,000. So that's why those refinance rates are higher than purchases, because actually there's an additional fee on those refinances. Lenders build that into the rate they're offering. You know, I mentioned a second ago about buying the rate down a point. Well, the fee is a half a point. So generally speaking, every point that you buy the rate down is about 0.25%. So a half a point is 1/8 of 1%. So just right off the bat, refinance rates are going to be at least 1/8 higher, all things being equal. That went in place in December, and so lenders who sell their loans off to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac started building that into their rates in August, September, and October. So there's no way you can get around that fee, again, other than just making sure that you're doing some due diligence, shopping around, and see what kind of rates people have.
I saw a story recently, Ed, that said that millennials are among the biggest group, or were at least a couple of months ago until last month, among the biggest group refinancing their mortgage. What do we need to know about that?
You know, I think that the reason that is because you have a couple things going on. Number one, I think with the amount of technology that has come into play in the mortgage industry in the last several years, I think millennials are versus the older Gen X boomer crowd is more comfortable working with that technology. So whereas maybe some older generations may look at that technology as a hindrance to refinance and maybe be turned off, you know, millennials embrace that. So, you know, they think about jumping on refinancing as an activity that takes very little time, and they're very comfortable with it and can execute quite well. And I think the other aspect is a lot of the older generations are paying debt down. They're paying their homes off. I mean, they're concentrating on paying homes off, selling homes, downsizing. The millennials, maybe they finally have paid off that student loan, so now they're ready to take on a different kind of debt, housing debt.
Right.
So as they've taken on that housing debt over the past 5 to 7 years, it's been a great opportunity to refinance that at lower interest rates.
Yeah, and regardless of your age, if you're in a situation where a refinance is going to save you some money, having some extra money around will surely help these days.
Absolutely. You listen to the financial channels, and inflation has been the rage, with yields moving higher on treasuries and gas prices and oil prices moving higher. So there's always things we can want to spend, and unfortunately, there's things we have to spend that extra money on. So it's always great to have.
Okay, Ed, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one?
Feel free to reach out. Shoot me an email. Probably best, it's ed.currie@associatedbank.com. That's ed.currie@associatedbank.com.
Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great day.